from Not Always So, Practicing the True Spirit of Zen by Shunryu Suzuki. This talk he gave is called Jumping Off the 100-Foot Pole. And within it, there's a paragraph that I particularly love. The secret is to just say yes and jump off from here. Then there is no problem. It means to be yourself in the present moment, always yourself, without sticking to an old self. You forget all about yourself and are refreshed. You are a new self. And before that self becomes an old self, you say, yes. And you walk to the kitchen for breakfast. So the point on each moment is to forget the point and extend your practice. Sometimes we, in our tradition, we give talks. And the Dharma takes the form of so many words and the form of precepts and vows. It takes the form of understandings. It takes the form of metaphors, poetry. And all of these forms are beautiful expressions. But they are expressions of something that is actually always changing. And if we stick to any particular expression, that's the place we get stuck in our practice. Now, this is very common. We like to understand. It is the nature of the human mind to comprehend, to appreciate comprehension. And comprehension, of course, is so necessary in order to log into Zoom, in order to say hello to a dear friend, in order to make breakfast. But these comprehensions are ever-changing. If I think that I know you, and I stick to a particular idea of you, you will show me quite quickly that my idea was limited, that it is not your true self, that it is simply a form that you were expressing in a particular moment. And that in the next moment, you become something else. And if I am attached to an old version of you, I don't get to continue to receive you as you are. I lose touch with you. This is so common in intimate relationships where we imagine that we know one another, that perhaps there is something new, there is nothing new to discover. You again. And no, who is that you that we imagine we know? The emotional state, the thoughts, have all changed since we knew this person, even our most intimate beloved, is brand new in this moment. Of course, there are habit patterns that we can recognize, differing strengths and capacities and weaknesses, but to solidify these things. To imagine that we know what those are and that they too don't change is also inaccurate. Even people's deepest values shift over the course of their lifetimes. And so it is inside of ourselves. Now, because the scenery of the mind and the heart is ever changing, I think sometimes the mind gets scared and wants to set up what in Christianity or Judaism is often called a false idol, something permanent to hold on to. Some image that simplifies. Because our actual experience is like water running through our hands. We can't grasp it. And the human mind likes to grasp things. It likes to hold on to them, stick them in a little box, put a bow on it. The more that we meditate, the more that we see that the self does not remain in place, even for a moment. That anything that I think of as myself is changing. And that this is the beauty of practice. Getting to bear witness to these changes that originally may scare us is the beauty of life itself. And so the invitation is to jump off the 100-foot pole. Now, in our tradition, the 100-foot pole is also a way of expressing awakening itself. Ah, yes, I've awakened. I have finally seen the profound impermanence of all things. And then we turn that into a thing. The I becomes concretized. I am awake. I understand non-duality. This big I at the center of it. That we imagine is something that doesn't change. And we might also imagine that awakening itself is something that does not change. There is nothing that remains the same. Everything is in a state of change. So jumping off the 100-foot pole also means letting go of anything we think that we have attained in practice. Now that is a hard one, because we want to hold on to those good states. And those good states do happen. They are part of practice, whatever we may mean by good. And yet, they too shall pass, inevitably. And sometimes after a night of bliss, in the morning, we awaken to discouragement. Maybe even at 3 a.m. Here we were just 5 hours ago, all blissed out. And then we wake up and we find that there is something new there. Perhaps some political scandal. Perhaps a remembrance of the suffering of others or of someone close to us or even of ourselves just arises almost spontaneously. We're so interconnected that we can't help it. Through cause effect, everything changes. And there we are, not so much leaping off that 100-foot pole as getting shoved off that 100-foot pole by life, by circumstance. This is our practice, to fall, to allow ourselves to fall from the 100-foot pole. Uh, of course, that terror that arises. What about when I hit something solid and land permanently in depression? We imagine that there is a ground that we will land on, and it will always be that way. When we get shoved off the peak moments of life, we try to avoid them, perhaps because we imagine that the low will be permanent. And here, too, is where impermanence rescues us. No, there is no ground. We just keep falling. And as we're falling, we can become curious about what we're seeing on the way. So that, for me, is the heart of this practice. Shunryu Suzuki calls it saying yes. Yes to this breath. Yes to this sensation of a tush on the chair or cushion. Yes to this voice bouncing around in the room. Yes to whatever is here. Yes to whatever is arising in our hearts. Whatever is arising in our hearts. An opportunity to say yes. Discouragement. It's okay. Yes, discouragement. Tears. It's okay. Tears may fall. Anger. Rage. Oh, no, wait. Rage is no good. Rage is no... I can't have that one. All right. All right, Feliki. Everything else you've said so far was fine, but rage is no good, because I'm gonna like fuck some things up. No rage too. So our practice is about allowing even rage, anger, whatever may be arising for us, to be present. And we have this remarkable discipline of sitting on the cushion so that we don't cause damage when our rage arises. We just learn to bear witness. And we learn about even the impermanence of rage. And we can watch it come and go. So there's the great faith. The great faith is actually in impermanence. And that's why we can say yes to anything and everything that arises. It is our life that we are saying yes to. Now, sometimes saying yes might be a little too much. It might feel like, all right, listen, I can deal with, like, maybe I can work toward something like witnessing or accepting, but this affirmation thing of yes is too much. Well, I understand that, and that is actually okay too, because we don't even need to cling to the teaching of yes. There isn't anything we have to hold on to. Life will continue to show up for us. Yes does not, another way of putting this, yes does not mean that we embrace something as the next 100-foot pole that we will never fall off of. Yes only means this is the content of my life in this very moment. That's all yes means. And sometimes yes is to the discouragement and the frustration and it can even be big, like we're feeling like I don't want to be feeling what I'm feeling right now. That's a no, right? Well, our yes can be to the no. No, I don't want this. Yes. Our practice is bigger than the content. It allows anything to be here. And this is so important in this difficult time. Because in this difficult time, I'm sure most of us have challenging feelings that arise. Perhaps we feel isolated, lonely. Perhaps we're scared for somebody we love. Perhaps we've lost someone. These are not easy times. Perhaps we're in financial distress, anxiety. Now, some people may be feeling fine. And maybe they feel guilty for feeling fine. All this suffering in the world, and I'm fine. Yes. Whatever is here is just what is here. Our practice is just allowing it to be here. If we can, remaining just curious about it. That is the practice of meditation. To sit on the cushion is the practice of saying, okay, what's here now? What is here now? That's it. That is a practice of curiosity, and it is boundlessly compassionate, boundlessly welcoming. The image of Avalokiteshvara, present to all the joy and suffering of the world, of our lives, open-hearted, allowing. Yeah, even allowing, so open-hearted that we even allow when our hearts close. It's because we are so vast that we can allow all these different states to come and go. It's because we are always ever-changing that we don't need to lose our equanimity in the face of turmoil. Enormously paradoxical. A logician listening is saying, I hear a contradiction in what you're saying there. So be it. Do I contradict myself? Very well then. I contain multitudes. Why this problem with contradiction? We are not computers, binary ones and zeros. We are sentient beings. So being in touch with our humanity, the vast fluidity, the ever-inclusive self, that never fixes, that never stays put, that has no boundaries. So, one final thought to end the talk. No need to stick to anything at all. Not even this talk. Great faith that the universe will continue universing perfectly. It does not depend on you and me. The Dharma does not depend on my particular personal attitude or comprehension. It unfolds regardless, and we can have perfect faith in that. Something so much bigger than anything that I could possibly comprehend. Thank you.